Thought for today. Thought for today. My eyes say, I like me. My eyes say, I like me. My eyes say, I like me. Our eyes are very interesting. They reveal a great deal about us. Our eyes express who we are. We call them the windows of our soul. And our eyes indicate where we're coming from. Our eyes indicate our sincerity. Our eyes indicate our duplicity, where we are double-sided. We are not honest, not true. Our eyes show our jovialness. Our eyes show our deep desires and lusts. Our eyes show our great passion for peace and harmony. Everything shines through our eyes. Did you know that? Everything shines through your eyes. You can't hide anything because your eyes are right there telling it all. And what sort of thing are your eyes telling about you? Think about that very seriously. If you like yourself, your eyes portray that you like yourself. If you don't like yourself, your eyes portray that you don't like yourself. I was visiting the dermatologist the other day and looking through some of his works of art. He had done eye checks, you know, shortening up the eyelids so that you don't have your eyes closed when you smile and stuff like that, and putting little chemical to relax the wrinkles that people have sometimes built into them by tension, and they look sort of very, very intense. All of these things are very, very beautiful and very nicely done. We can do that with our thought as well. From one moment to the next, we can change our personality. We can change the way we look at the world just by our thought. We can think our thought and be at peace. Take, for instance, a person who is dead. You look at their face, and all the tension is gone from their face. You look at their hands, and all the tension is gone from their hands. They're dead. Mm-hmm. You take a person who's unconscious. All the wrinkles are gone from their face. You say, really? Yep. How many people have you seen who are unconscious? Not very many. And keep it that way. How many people have you seen who are dead and don't have wrinkles on their face? Keep it that way. You don't need to see them. Only see life. Okay. How do we relax our attitude? How do we relax our eyes? How do we relax the tension? Why do we need glasses at all? Because we become more and more intense. When I was in high school, my last year of high school, I wanted to get into the Navy like all my pals were. And so I finished my last year of high school in, I believe it was 2 months, 1 or 2 months. And in the process, I got shingles. You know, these little red blotches all around your side. He said if it goes around both sides, you'll die. But it only went around one side. And during that time, I was so intently studying and so diligently studying that I needed to have glasses. So I got glasses when I was 16, 17. I got glasses, first time in my life. And I got these blotches all around my belly. And I went to the doctor, of course, to find out what was going on. And he says, well, that's just tension. And I got glasses, and I asked the doctor what's going on. He says, it's tension. He says, you're not relaxed. You're too intense on doing the thing you're doing. But that's all right. Just go do it. Use the glasses because Once you accomplish it, then you'll be back to yourself again. And as soon as I had finished the test and graduated from high school in that month and a half, 2 month period, the blotches went poof away, just like magic. And my glasses, I didn't need them anymore. Completely gone. My eyes were whole and perfect. Just like John tells us, some mornings he wakes up and he can read perfectly and look at the distance perfectly. Well, why doesn't he do that all the time? Because he has tensions about him. We have tensions in our body, tensions in our attitude, in our life, that keep us from doing this. And this is true for all of us. It's not just one individual. John just happened to mention it. Some of the rest of you have mentioned it too. I know for myself, there are mornings when I wake up and my vision is not clear, even though my eyes are perfect. And I cannot read the small print. And other mornings when I wake up, I can read the tiniest print in the lightest color. You know, like you get on some of these tubes of salve or something, they give it printed in light blue and tiny print. I mean, I don't know what they have in mind, but I guess they don't want people to read it, because it could have at least been in black, tiny, or at least it could have been big. The paper wasn't that expensive, but they didn't want you to read it. But this morning I was sitting in the bathroom and I had that sheet of paper in my hand in the dim light from the bathroom. I was reading it perfectly. And I thought, hey, that's interesting, that's nice. Yesterday I couldn't do that. Today I'm doing it. You see, the tensions that we get into our body, the tensions that we get into our life, the attitudes that we have about ourselves, we destroy ourselves. Yesterday, I had many errands to run. I had many things to do. I had things that had to be taken care of. I had to go and pick up Sylvia. I had to go to see Daniel about the web. And I had many other errands I wanted to fit in there and get done and get back. Well, something as insignificant as those errands, caused me to be tense and caused my eyes not to see clearly. Now, that it should tell us something. This insignificant thing that we let bother us is such a waste of our energy, such a waste of our ability to be master of ourselves. Now, all of us here are constantly saying, we are a master of ourselves, we are a master of ourselves. Garbage. We're not master of ourselves. Anytime we let ourselves get intense, get nervous about something that we're doing, we get excited, or in a negative way, about what we're doing, we're not masters. We're throwing away our mastership. We're throwing away our ability to be in charge of ourselves. Anytime we feel we have to stick our nose in somebody else's business, we're giving ourselves a lot of trouble. Many actors take parts in plays because they want to develop their career. Some of the parts that they take in plays are not very nice. They take the devil part, or the villain part, or the harlot part, or whatever, but they're parts that don't please them. And so they take the part, but they divorce themselves from this. They say, this is a part. I am acting angry. I am acting unhappy. I am acting like a bad person. And they know it's a part. They put pseudo-emotions into it. But they are not top actors. They are not the outstanding Academy Award-winning actors, because they don't put their total self into it. They do not get across to the audience that this really is an angry person. This really is a person who is mentally unstable. This really is a person that is completely distressed by the circumstance they're facing. Because they don't really want to play that role. They don't really want to play the role of an angry person. They want to play the role of a lover, you know, a friendly person or anything else, but not an angry person. Well, don't take the role if you don't want to play it. Don't take the role in life of being a master if you don't want to play it. Don't take the role in life of being a lover if you don't want to play it. If you want to be a lover, you want to get married or whatever, and you want to have a relationship, give yourself 100% to it. Don't dilly-dally about it, because if you dilly-dally about it, you're going to have a half-assed relationship, both for you and the other person. If your mother says, go to the store and buy some peanuts, and you listen to her only half, and so you go to the store and you buy some peanut butter, and you come back home and your mother says, I told you to buy some peanuts. Oh, Mom, take it back and buy some peanuts. So you go to the store and you see a sale on peanut crunch. And so you buy the peanut crunch instead of the peanuts. Take the peanut butter back. You come home, your mother says, I told you peanuts. But Mom, I told you peanuts. Now go back and change it. So you go back. Finally, you get the peanuts. So what does your mother do? With half the peanuts, she makes peanut butter, and the other half, she makes peanut crunch. The very things that you had brought home. But she told you what to do, and she is diligent. She is concerned enough about your welfare that you follow directions. Because if you cannot follow directions in the little things, you surely will not follow directions on the big things. If you cannot follow directions on the little things of being gentle, being loving, being kind, keeping your nose out of other people's business, being very much alert and aware of who you are and liking yourself, if you cannot do those things, the great, wonderful things that will come your way are speaking your word and having the mountain jump into the sea. Oh man, that's crazy. Who wants a mountain jump? Hey, it's just a symbol. Just a symbol. There is peace on earth, and it began with me. That's a symbol too. Do you believe it? Do your eyes shine out the fact that you believe this, that there is peace on earth? If anyone mentions anything about war, what do you mention? You say, oh, is it over? It's wonderful. Peace is always wonderful. Peace is fantastic. No. The war is hot and heavy. If you are a master, you will not attract to yourself wars. You will not attract into your environment conflict. You will not attract into your world anything unlike your nature. You can't. Anything that you have in your nature that you think it's unlike your nature, it's your nature. If you have the desire for great wealth and you don't have great wealth, then you lust after it. You don't say, I am wealthy. You say, I want wealth. You don't say, I am healthy, you say, I want health. See, when health shines out through your eyes, even in a sick body, when health shines out through your eyes, you've got health. But what about that sick body? That illusion is unimportant. You chose that illusion to see whether you could have health, regardless of an appearance. All of you are going through challenges. All of you are going through opportunities to stand and be yourself at all times. All of you are going through these things, and some of you are failing, and some of you are passing. But they're your own tests. They're your own choices. Now, what are you going to have in your life? What do you want in your life? What sort of choices do you want in your life? What sort of experiences do you want in your life? You have to make that decision. Your eyes tell me of your sincerity. If you want to be a master and you still have other desires, then your eyes tell me that. And is that what you want to tell me? Is that what you want to tell me, that you want to be a master and yet you have other desires? Well, apparently that is what you want to tell me, because that is what you have in your mind. Why do you think I mentioned that? Before Irene left for Europe, we had a nice talk. And I said to her, Irene, stop playing games, decide what you want to do, and then go for it. Don't say what you think I want to hear. Say what you really want to do, and I will back you with my treatment 100%, and you will have results. And so she told me what she really wanted to do. I said, fantastic, go for it. Wonderful. It had nothing to do with, quasi, the spiritual path. The spiritual path is always there, of course, but it was particular things. And so she spoke her word. And like arrows from the Cupid, dung, dung, dung. And I don't mean love arrows from the Cupid, but like the arrows from the Cupid, every desire is being shot right into her area to see, you watch, you watch. We'll talk more about this later as she demonstrates it. But already, without even getting off the plane, just getting on the plane. And before she got on the plane, she had the phone call. And after she got on the plane, she had the opportunities coming to her. And the opportunities are good ones. They're great ones. Fantastic ones. You think, how could an opportunity so fantastic come her way when advertising in the paper? Why would such a marvelous man advertise in the paper? Oh, because he is not in the business of having those type of people around him normally. He just was ready for it, so he advertised in the paper. And he too put the perfect cause in motion, and she too put the perfect cause in motion. And if it is for their choice, if she really is happy there, she'll take it. You see, it shines out of her eyes. It shines right out of her eyes. Now, does it shine out of your eyes who you are, what you want? Does it shine out of your soul who you are, and what you want? You think it does? You bet it does. But it's not always what you want it to be. You may want to be a master, but to be a master means that you judge not another. To be a master means you're unconditionally loving. To be a master means that you are true to yourself. And if you're not true to yourself, see, this was Irene's problem. She wasn't true to herself for a little while there. And the minute she became true to herself, what she really wanted to do, everything fell right into place. The minute Stefan becomes true to himself of what he really wants to do. But as Stefan says, I don't know what I want to do. I really don't know. I have an idea of a direction I'd like to go, but I don't know what I really want to do. And so he can't have it until he knows what he wants to do. Well, you see, what about all the people who have experiences and have these great experiences and so forth? And they didn't know what they wanted to do either. Well, let me lay this on the line for you. When you are a beautiful person, when you are perfectly honest with yourself, when you are a fabulous person in yourself, you can only bring fabulous experiences to you. When you doubt yourself, when you say that you're going to do something and don't do it, when you think bad thoughts? You know? You say, I'm not going to eat this cake. And then you look at that cake. The cake is so good. And just go in and out. The cake is so good. Oh, boy. I'm not going to eat that cake. If you are tempted, you're not your master. If you are not tempted, you say, hey, I've set my goal. I'm not going to eat this cake. Not that I'm not going to eat this cake. I have no desire for the cake. I tried to tempt Sylvia on the way back from town yesterday to eat yogurt and to eat candy and to eat ice cream and to eat all these things, you know, get her started because she hadn't eaten anything. And she says, Herb, you just can't tempt me. I have no desire for it. I have no desire for it. You see, when you have no desire for something, you have no desire for it. You don't make yourself have no desire for it. You may, in a roundabout way, make yourself have no desire for it. But you have no desire for anything contrary to what your choice is for yourself. And that's a big thing. That's a big thing. We're going to have JJs coming into our life who are going to ask us to speak for them and to say beautiful things for them. We're going to have not nice people come into our life and ask us to speak beautiful things to them. I had a phone call last night from a person who didn't want to be nice. And I just kept saying nice things to the person. And by the time the phone call ended, the person said, now I know why I called. Now I know why I called. It's nice to touch bases with you because I touch bases with myself. Now, I could have taken credit because I specifically was working with that person, specifically putting causes in motion, specifically directing their attention to their own inner self. And as the phone call ended, they acknowledged they had found their inner self. Not fully, but at least they got the glimpse and they're going the right direction. And they said, whereas before they were teaching things that were not negative, but inharmonious with life. It wasn't wrong, it was just inharmonious with life. In the process of teaching it, the person could not go on teaching anymore. The students stopped coming, and the person couldn't teach it, because the person had a better view of themselves. The person had a higher view of himself, just like JJ here. JJ wants to be a minister. This other person does too. JJ wants to be a minister, and he wants to reach out and touch people. He's making a lot of quotes because he needs to protect himself. He needs to say, this is where I got this information. This is where I got this. And you know, because of himself, he cannot yet say that. In his environment, he cannot say that. But of others who have written it, he can say it. And the day will come when he says it purely and simply of himself. And when that comes, you know what will happen? He'll be free. He'll be free. And we are part of the catalyst helping him to achieve that goal. It's pretty important. It's pretty important. Are we ready to be that uninhibited catalyst that lifts all of the people who come into our attention? Are we ready to be that uninhibited catalyst for ourselves? Your eyes show what you're thinking. Your eyes show what you're believing. And in all things, I said it yesterday and I've said it often before, in all things, be careful that you don't blame the teaching, the philosophy, for your mistakes. Because the minute you blame the philosophy for your mistakes, all you're doing is saying that you are not a very good student. When people come to me and say, my husband is terrible, I want to get a divorce. I said, hey, now, just a minute. Your husband may be terrible. He may want a divorce. But stop and think. You have spent 20 years training that man to be the person he is today. Now, do you want to waste all that and have to start out all over again with a new man? What would you like your husband to express? What would you like to be in? What would you like to see in your husband? I'd like to see him loving and understanding and caring. Those things are okay. So right now, say to yourself, I see my husband loving, understanding, and caring. Say this 300 million times a day. But there is not enough time in the day to say that. That's right. You say it all day long. My husband is loving and caring and understanding. My husband is loving. You know what's going to happen? She's going to be loving and caring and understanding. And then all of a sudden she'll see her husband that way. And he won't have changed one little bit. But she will have changed. But I can't say you got to change yourself. Because whenever I say that, the old block comes up. No way, I'm perfect. No way, it's him. It's always the other person. But see him loving and perfect. If she sees him loving and perfect, she's got to see herself seeing him loving and perfect. It's a wonderful thing. And this is how we counsel and how we work with people. We see everyone loving and perfect. No matter what the circumstances, no matter how much it may hurt us, but never knock the philosophy. Because there's nothing wrong with it. Never knock the teacher. There's nothing wrong with the teacher. Because, in fact, you are the teacher. Be careful. Be careful of this. Your eyes show out to the world so perfectly who you are. And you think that you've got your eyes covered. And you can think stinky thoughts and not have them show out through your eyes. They do. They do. And everyone sees it. Everyone may not know what it all means, but everyone sees it. And if you have loving thoughts, really gentle, caring thoughts, first about yourself. All the world says, I like that person. I don't know why, but I like that person. Well, you like that person because they like themselves. You always like someone who likes themselves. You like children who like themselves. You like dogs and cats who like themselves. They come to you for petting, but the minute they see another cat or a rabbit, boom, they're gone. They come back just as though nothing happened. I told you to sit. I told you to stay. Yeah, yeah, but that rabbit, he was so nice. They don't think of violating the rule. They just go off and do their thing. But we are their parent. We are their teacher. We are responsible for them. And if the dog runs across the street and gets hit by a car and is killed, we killed it. If a cat eats improper food, we killed him. Because we didn't train the cat to eat proper food. If a little child shoots somebody and kills him, we killed him, not the child. Because we haven't trained that child respect for themselves, respect for whatever they had. Never touch a gun. There's no need to ever touch a gun in life. Leave it alone. You don't need guns, you don't need knives, you don't need any of these things. If you're going to whittle, have a knife. How many people whittle? Not very many. You see, we don't need to be associated with these things that can be damaging. We're associating only with the purity and the goodness. Let your eyes shine forth the beauty that is within you. But be sure that you are knowing the beauty that's within you. And be careful, it's not the rascality. The rascality, the mischievous self. Because that shows too. And that shows very well. I love you all very much. And I see you all shining forth from your eyes the purity, the goodness, the truth that I am. And don't forget that. You see in others what you are. I see in you what I am. And man, you're good.